Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's secret. Now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. What about me? Have I been faithful? Well, it matters very little what you or anyone else thinks. I don't even trust my own judgment at this point. My conscience is clear, but that isn't what matters. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So be careful not to jump to conclusions before the Lord returns as to whether or not someone is faithful. When the Lord comes, he will bring our deepest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. And then God will give to everyone whatever praise is due.
Thanks, Chris, for reading scripture for us this morning. So I'd like to start off this morning with some riddles. This will be a little different. If you can get these pretty quickly, we won't linger on them too long. But if you can get it pretty quickly, feel free to shout it out. And if you've read The Lord of the Rings, then maybe you'll be familiar with these. So what has roots, as nobody sees, is taller than trees, up, up it goes, and yet never grows? A mountain. Oh, okay. See the light bulbs start clicking on. 30 white horses on a red hill. First they champ, then they stamp, and then they stand still. Teeth. It's hard to get them very quickly. All right, I'll give you one more. Voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters. Sure. Voiceless it cries, wingless flutters, toothless bites, mouthless mutters. The heart. The wind. Because it bites and it cries. Yeah. Okay. I'll move on. It's easy for me because I have the answers written down. So, anyway, these are all riddles taken from J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, where if you're familiar with that book or movie at all, then you know that those are the riddles taken from Bilbo and Gollum as they trade back and forth, and Bilbo eventually escapes with the ring, starting off the whole sequence of events. Anyway, riddles have intrigued us for a long time. They still intrigue us because they are word puzzles that are meant to be solved. There's a solution, you know, there's an answer to them, and part of the fun is trying to figure them out. Now, this is part of the beauty of words, and the words that we so often take for granted is that they can be used to describe many things, sometimes without ever even using the word for that thing. A riddle about wind, many different ways to describe wind without actually calling it wind. The words of a riddle form a picture. They form a story, which story picture can help us to see something in a new light, see it in a different way. Now Jesus, and this is where this connects to our series in the book of Matthew, Jesus used words, not necessarily in the form of riddles, but in the form of parables. Now where a riddle would be a statement, question, or phrase having a double or hidden meaning, put forth as a puzzle to be solved, a parable is a short, instructive story, usually in prose or in verse, that illustrates one or more instructive principles or lessons. Where riddles would occupy what might be the world of fiction, maybe some humor, parables occupy a realistic sense, often a sobering space. Riddles, while meant for fun, maybe describing something humorous, a parable, usually describes reality, just in a different way. Now, as we have highlighted throughout this series in the book of Matthew, Jesus' main teaching, his main message to the people as he travels has been, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. But what is that kingdom like? This is maybe a question that you've been wondering, maybe certainly a question that Jesus' followers have been wondering, the crowds as they've followed him from place to place. Thankfully, here in Matthew 13, Jesus has provided some answers for us about what the kingdom of heaven is like. So let me pray for us this morning, and then we'll take a look at our passage. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us to use, the fun that we can have as we form words into riddles. But God, may we take seriously this morning the words that have formed parables, the things that Jesus has explained to us about the reality of our world and the reality of the kingdom. And so God, may we see, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear the words that Jesus has spoken to us through parables, and may they be helpful for us this morning as we live in this world and in this kingdom. So, Father, may you speak to us this morning through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. That's where we'll be spending our time together this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. We'll be looking at all of chapter 13 of Matthew this morning. And today's passage is split up into three parts. You can see those on the outline if you grabbed a bulletin on your way in. First, we'll talk about understanding the kingdom and the ground in verses 1 through 23. Then we'll talk about understanding the kingdom, the growth, in verses 24 through 43. And finally, we'll talk about understanding the kingdom and the gain in verses 44 through 58. Hopefully you enjoy that alliteration this morning. Let me read that first section for us, verses 1 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. I'll stop reading for us there. So Jesus, on that same day, after he has just performed all of these miracles that we have seen from him in the last chapter, he's battled over who the Pharisees said or think that he was. He then sits down by the lake. Now, normally when you sit down by a lake, you're usually trying to relax, right? But Jesus doesn't have that opportunity to relax. The crowds, they just keep coming to Jesus. They keep following him around. And so he gets up and he then moves into a boat that is floating there. Now he's trying to create some distance, maybe to make a quick getaway or be able to run as the people try and get closer to him. Now, once again, he begins to teach. He often takes these opportunities to teach the people. But this time, his teaching comes in the form of parables, which we just talked about. He begins to tell them a story about a farmer who is sowing his seed. And this story is a story of context from Jesus. Right? He lived in an agrarian society, so the people that are following him, they would have been farmers, or at least would have understood farming analogies, much in the way that we do living here in Lancaster County. In this story, the farmer sows his seed in four different places. Three of those places are not the best places for the seed to be. The seed does not last in order to bear fruit. But in one of those places, the seed lasts and bears fruit. And so the disciples, they come to Jesus and they just ask him flat out, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why the mystery? Why the change? What is the purpose of teaching in this way? Now Jesus replies that the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven has been given to the disciples, but not to the crowd. Kind of a weird response. But Jesus keeps going. He says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, everything will be taken from them. Now that seems a little harsh from Jesus. Finally, Jesus gives them a more direct answer. The people, the crowds, though they see, they don't actually see. And though the people hear him, they don't actually hear him. It's almost like the riddles that I began this sermon talking about. You know, you heard me, but the meaning was hidden from you until I revealed it. Now, these people have fulfilled what was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah, that their hearts would be calloused against seeing Jesus for who he truly is and what he has come to do. It's almost as if Jesus is speaking an entirely different language from them, right? And only if they spoke the language that Jesus was speaking would they truly understand him. Now, Jesus is hinting at this. It doesn't matter how Jesus would explain the kingdom of heaven to them. They still would not understand it. Their hearts have been hardened. Their eyes have been closed. Their ears have been plugged from hearing what Jesus truly means. Now, the parable is an analogy, right? It's a simplified explanation of a reality of the kingdom of heaven. And even that contextual simplified analogy is still not enough for the people to see the kingdom for what it truly is. But here, there is still a benefit to Jesus sharing this parable with them. For those who do understand the parable, for those who have had the meaning revealed to them, for those whose eyes have been opened and their ears have been cleared to be able to hear, they can now see the kingdom of heaven in a fresh, new way. Their understanding has been deepened, and their love for Jesus has been increased through their hearing, and this is a blessing for them. Now, many people before the disciples who got to travel around with Jesus, many of them wanted to hear and to see the Messiah who was to come. Many would have longed to hear this parable from Jesus. Many would have known that passed down for generations, preserved by his word, inspired by the Spirit, the parable that we have read today. We are fortunate to be in this place in this time, to be able to hear this parable from Jesus and to learn about the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus then, later on, he explains what the parable of the sower, as it has come to be known as, what it means. Each place that the seed falls represents a person who has heard about the kingdom of heaven, the good news about Jesus that has come into the world. Not a specific person, necessarily, but these are categories for people who hear the good news. The seed sown along the path that was eaten by the birds is like the person who hears about the kingdom but does not understand, and Satan comes and snatches the good news from their heart. The news never really takes root, never really has a chance to land or make a difference in the person's life, and so it is easily thrown away, explained away by the person snatched from their heart. The seed that is sown on rocky ground that grows quickly but withers because it did not have roots is like a person who hears about the kingdom, quickly receives it, but when trouble comes, they fall away. The news, well, it takes root, but it is easily discarded when things get uncomfortable, when the pressure increases, when the persecution comes, when life gets hard. The seed that is sown among the thorns, but was then choked, is like a person who hears about the kingdom, receives it, and grows, but their growth is stunted by the concerns of this world. Wealth, material possessions, things in that vein. Now, the news does take root, but it is competing with something else for nutrients and growth. It's competing for the number one spot in that person's heart, and eventually it loses. But the seed, and this is the difference, the seed that is sown on good soil grows and produces an abundant crop. That is like a person who hears about the kingdom and understands it. The news takes root, makes a difference in the person's life, and grows to fruition. And then it multiplies. It reproduces itself. Now, in this parable, as Jesus says, the seed is the good news of salvation through Jesus. The sower is God himself, and the soil is the heart of the person. Now, the soil of the path is a person with a hardened heart. The soil with the rocks is a person with a superficial heart. The soil with thorns is a person who has a divided heart, but the soil, the good soil, is the person who has an open heart to receive the good news. Now, these categories provided by Jesus are a helpful way for us to understand what happens in a person's heart when they reject Jesus, when they fall away from Jesus, or when they accept Jesus. This parable carries with it two rhetorical questions for us. The first of which is, what kind of soil are you on? Now take a look around you in your life to keep going with Jesus' analogy. Are you on the hard path? Is there any room for the seed to even take root in your life? Could the good news be easily snatched from you? Or are you on the rocky ground? Have you grown quickly, but your roots need to grow deeper? Are you surrounded by thorns? Have you grown, but your life is being choked out by less important things? Or are you on the good soil? You're growing and growing, reproducing, being fruitful. The second question, rhetorical question, is to those in the last category. Are you producing fruit? The thing about fruit is that it contains seeds, seeds which are then sown to produce new plants. If you are producing fruit, then where are the seeds of that fruit, and where are they being sown? And if you are not producing fruit, well, maybe it's time to check the soil. I'll put the question a different way, maybe this time without Jesus' analogy. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone else? When was the last time you shared the good news with someone who took it and grew? When was the last time you made a disciple of Jesus Christ? See, to understand the kingdom, we must understand the ground that the seeds of the kingdom are grown into. Some types of soil are receptive and some aren't, but the seeds are sown anyway. The thing about the kingdom is that the growth happens in the seeds as well. And that's our next section for this morning. Let me read verses 24 through 43 for us. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin in all who do evil. Then they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." I'll stop reading for us there. So now Jesus gives us three more different parables in this section as he continues to elaborate on what the kingdom of heaven is like. The first parable is a story about a man who sows good seed in his field. Then his enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. Clever tactic. Now the man's servants want to pull up the weeds, but he tells them not to. They should both grow together and then be harvested together. At the harvest, at the end, the weeds and the wheat will be sorted from each other. Next, he tells them a story about a man who plants a mustard seed in his field, which, though the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds, then grows into a large tree. Finally, he tells a story about a woman who mixes yeast into 60 pounds of dough. Eventually, the yeast works its way through the dough. Now, Jesus speaks all of these things in parables to fulfill what was said about him in Psalm 78, verse 2. That's where that quotation is from, that he would speak to the people in parables. Now, after this, Jesus leaves the crowd and he goes into a house, and his disciples, they follow him there. They ask him for an explanation for the parable of weeds. What do you mean by that parable? And so Jesus explains it to them. The sower is Jesus himself. The field is the world. The good seed are the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sows the weeds is Satan. And the harvest happens at the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. Each part of the story has a correlation to something that is real. Jesus continues to give more detail about just what the end of the age will look like. The angels will come to pull up the weeds. The angels, the harvesters, will separate the weeds from the wheat. They will throw the weeds into the furnace, and the wheat will shine like the sun in the kingdom. Now, this parable explains what the day of judgment will look like. There are those who belong to the kingdom of heaven and those who do not. Now, this is a harsh reality from Jesus as he explains it, but a reality nonetheless. But the tricky part is that those who belong to the kingdom of heaven and those who don't are hard to tell apart. They're hard to separate. Satan desires nothing more than to mix them together. Our job as wheat is not to sort between the wheat and the weeds. That's the angel's job. That's the harvester's job. Our job, if we are the wheat in this parable, is to grow. And yes, there might be weeds that are growing around us, maybe even right next to us. Those weeds might even look like that, look like us. The problem is that the damage of the weeds has already been done. The only way to undo it is to wait until both are grown at the end of the age and ready to be harvested. When the wheat will be gathered and put in the barn, and the weeds will be gathered and discarded, thrown into the fire. As I've heard it said, all will rest, but not all will rest in peace. Now, this is not the way that God intended for it to be, as the Son of Man sowed the good seed among the world. Now, God's intention was for there to only be good seed, growing in good soil. But the enemy is the one who has come to sow the bad seed. The world has been tainted by sin. There are those who belong to the evil one that exist in our world, and this is a reality that we must be aware of. Now, to understand the kingdom of heaven, we must understand that in the kingdom there is growth happening. All of these parables, all three of them, have something in common. The weeds grow, the wheat grows, the mustard seed grows, the yeast itself grows. All of these things are growing. The kingdom itself is always growing. People are always being added to the kingdom of heaven. People in the kingdom are always growing to be more like Jesus. But sometimes the people that are growing alongside the kingdom aren't good. The kingdom is growing into something beautiful, and at the end of the age, the harvest will be abundant. But right there alongside it, something else is growing that isn't beautiful. Now, this parable should really be a comfort and a caution to us as people. A comfort because we will grow as people living in this kingdom. Everything at the end of the age will be figured out. But God will take care of it. God's angels will do the sorting. And this is a help to us because as we look at our world and we see one bad thing happening after another, the news stories that frustrate us to no end, the questions that we have about where our world is going and why all these bad things are happening, well, this parable is an explanation of that. There are weeds sown in among the wheat. This is the reality of our world. But in the end, God will take care of it. Now, these parables also contain a rhetorical question. Which are you? Are you in the kingdom? Or are you out? What will happen to you on the day of the harvest, on the day of judgment? Are you the wheat, the mustard seed that grew into a tree, the yeast in the dough, or are you among the weeds? But Jesus, he doesn't stop here with these parables. He includes some more as he closes out the passage. Let me read verses 44 through 58 for us as we close. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? And then did this man, where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. I'll stop reading for us there. So Jesus finishes off his teaching for his disciples with three more parables. First, he tells them a story about a man who finds a treasure in a field. He then sells everything that he has to go and buy that field. Next, he tells a story about a merchant who finds a pearl of great value, who also goes to sell everything to buy the pearl. Finally, he tells a story about a net thrown into a lake in order to catch fish. Now, when the net becomes full, the fishermen collect the good fish and throw the bad away. Similar story to the parable of the weeds that comes before it. Now, to understand the kingdom of heaven, we must understand that in the kingdom there is something to be gained. These parables, though, an explanation of reality and a little sobering for us as they describe the day of judgment, they also describe the worth that it is to understand the kingdom and to gain it. That something, gaining the kingdom, just might require us to give up everything else. The first story, the man sells everything to buy the field, and for him it is worth it. The second story, the merchant sells everything to buy the pearl, and it is worth it. The third story, the fishermen throw the net into the lake. They do get some bad fish, but the good fish that they get are worth it. The meaning of these parables is that gaining the kingdom of heaven is worth it. Gaining the kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything in our lives, if that's what it takes. Being in the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than all of our possessions combined. Jesus reaches the end of his teaching here, and he asks the question, have you understood all of these things? To which the disciples say, yes. Now that's a pretty short response from them. So did they actually understand everything? Well, maybe in part, but likely not in full. They're probably wondering, well, you know, if the kingdom of heaven is this reality that Jesus has described, then why can it be compared to so many different things? Why are there so many aspects to it, so many facets? Why are all these stories used to describe the kingdom of heaven? This seems complicated. Well, understanding the kingdom of heaven is simple, yet complex at the same time. Jesus uses parables to describe it because it is simple and complex. Jesus isn't trying to fool people. He's not trying to one-up those who don't understand. He's trying to help the people understand it more fully. These analogies would have helped them to understand or to see it in a new way. But despite that, even with the explanations of the parables that Jesus gives, some people do not see the kingdom for what it truly is. The point of Jesus' parables are to help us to see our place in relationship to the kingdom of heaven that has come near. If understanding the kingdom means that we have to understand the ground of the kingdom, well then, are we grounded in the right place? If understanding the kingdom means that we have to understand growth, well, are we growing in the right way? If understanding the kingdom of heaven means that we gain something, well, have we given something up in order to gain what is greater? Parables are mysterious to us, maybe even frustrating as we try to understand what they mean. But they should also convict us as people. The true mystery of a parable isn't in figuring out what it means. The mystery is seeing our place in the midst of it, and then adjusting ourselves accordingly. Now this adjustment comes from Jesus in verse 52. He says, "Therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Once you become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven, your job is to bring new and old things out of the storeroom. Helping people to see the old treasures, what they mean, the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and God's faithfulness since the beginning, how Jesus was prophesied to come, but also to help people see the new treasures, the new covenant, the New Testament, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection through which we receive eternal life. Perhaps as Jesus did, as we bring those things out of the storeroom, we use analogies that people can connect with and help them understand. Now Jesus reminds us of one last reality as the chapter closes. We read this story, which doesn't seem to make sense in the midst of all these parables, about Jesus moving on to his hometown. The people there, amazed at his teaching, but then they begin to question, right? Wait a minute. We know this guy. We know his parents. How did he become like this? And so they begin to doubt him. Jesus says that a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, which seems like the way that it's not supposed to be, right? But as we have seen throughout the book of Matthew, not everyone is receptive to the good news about Jesus. Sometimes the hardest people to minister are the ones who know us the best. Or maybe to put that a different way, maybe the ones who knew us before our lives were transformed by Jesus. They might question the people that we have become. They know the person that we used to be. They know the things that we used to say or the things that we used to do. And those things can be hard to give up. But what would Jesus' ministry have looked like if he never left his hometown? If he let the pressures and expectations of being a carpenter hold him back from going and sharing this good news with people. This is a difficult reality, but it is the reality. And even Jesus moves on from his hometown because he knows that the people there lack the faith to receive him. See, just because we have gained the kingdom, just because we might be growing in the kingdom, just because we might be grounded in the right place, does not guarantee that others will be too. But as Jesus promises us, there is something to be gained by being in the kingdom of heaven. It is worth it. And though the troubles of this life may worry us, We know that everything will be sorted out in the end. It's our hope. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, we thank you for the mystery of the parables. We thank you for the sobering reminders that they carry for us and the helpful explanations that they offer for thinking about the world and those that we encounter throughout our days. Father, may we see the kingdom as something worth gaining. May we grow into healthy plants that produce fruit in our lives. And as we sow the seed of the good news of Jesus, may we sow it boldly, knowing that some will land in the wrong place and some will land in the right place. But God, knowing that you are in control, that everything will be sorted out in the end. Help us to find rest in that today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.